compliance with the open meeting law?
Yes, it was posted with the county clerk and sent to the radio and newspaper on the website.
You have the attendance, we have a quorum?
Yes, we have Pat on the phone.
Good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Morning, Pat.
And then it looks like we have everyone else here in person.
Approval of the agenda.
I make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second.
I'm wondering, Lori, should that board appointments be moved up? Shouldn't I be included in that?
That I don't know. We're going to, the appointment is for a regional appointment. And then, or you're talking about, I wasn't going to hold election of officers again until we had a full board. Is that? Doesn't matter to me.
Dale is vice chair, so he automatically takes over the position until somebody else is elected, so I don't know.
Okay.
Well, that was what I was getting at. Should that be made official, or is that just automatic?
It's automatic at this point. Like Lori said, until Carolyn's position is refilled, you are the chair.
My thoughts were once we refilled Carolyn's position, then we would, if you wanted us to revisit election of officers, we could.
Because you would need to then have a vice chair.
A vice chair.
I guess my understanding that when the chairman vacates like that, vice chair fills the position for the rest of the term.
Oh, okay. Doesn't matter to me.
Well, me neither, but that's the way I read the bylaws.
So once we get a new board appointment on, then we can just fill the vice chair?
I mean, whoever fills Carolyn's position would have nothing to do with being a chairman.
Yeah, no, but it would, we would elect then the vice chair.
We would need to elect a vice chair.
Because these board appointments.
Elect the vice chair, yes.
These board appointments don't have anything to do with the chair, vice chair position.
Okay, well, I didn't know what all your appointments was. That's why I was questioning.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Hold say aye. Carried. Approval of the minutes from August 18.
I make a motion to approve.
Discussion.
I'll second it.
Motion by Pat, second by Lester.
It was Gary.
Gary.
Oh, Gary did. Sorry about that. Any more discussion? If not, all in favor, say aye.
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 Hold sign. Carried. Public comment or communications? I have no communications, Lori.
Nope, I don't at this time.
Anybody got anything they want to talk about? Now we'll move on to advocacy reports. I don't have anything. I was not at the last meeting. I tried to get on by phone, but I was on the road and the connection was not worth the darn, to tell you the truth, so I didn't really get in on much. Do you have anything, Lori?
I don't think there wasn't anything acted upon. I was just to go back and look at it, but I don't think, let me just pull it up quickly and just see if there was anything I needed to mention. Sorry, it's my computer's. Come on. All right. It's being slow like me. Sakes. My laptop's had its coffee either. This might be the slowest thing ever. All right, well, I don't think so if they're, oh, now it finally popped up. Yeah, it looks like they just did elections. They went over the second quarter call reports. The call reports are what you see on ours, so they just went over the region ones, looked at those, reviewed a customer satisfaction survey from 2018. So that was basically what they did. So that's all I have.
Okay, move on to the drive-through Elder Fest.
Drive-through Elder Fest is happening October 22nd from 10 a.m. to noon. So we are working on that. It got into the newsletter yesterday, so it will officially be advertised. We are having, can you hear me okay? I spoke with Vesperman Farms yesterday. They will be, we will be getting some apple cider donuts from them. We've got about 20 vendors signed up currently. Last year when we did it, that's about half of what we normally have, and that's what we ended up having last year was half. We've got a few people that are interested in helping, vendors helping, volunteer, and a few vendors actually offering to do a display this year. We did some displays last year, and so I'm hoping to get a few more people just so that it's a little bit more visual as people drive through. We're also going to get some barricades up so we can barricade it off a little better this year since we had a little glitch with that last year. The health department will be on site as well for COVID vaccines, flu, pneumonia, and tetanus shots. They will be the only one on site besides us. We won't have anybody else. So we'll have the apple cider donut stop. We'll have a little, what we called last year, just a trick-or-treat stop where they could either, last year it was a duck, this year it might be a scratch-off, and they can win a, see if they can win a door prize. And then we'll have the stop for the resource bags. And then if they need the flu shots or any of that, then they can stop and get that on their way out as well. I did contact the 4-H coordinator too. I haven't heard back from them in the hopes that maybe 4-H might provide us with some displays as well, but she has not gotten back to me. So just again, trying to make it visual and hoping for a few more things because I don't think I can do as much as I did last year. I think it'll work well. We certainly learned our lessons from last year, and last year we gave away 330 bags. So we do expect it, you know, hopefully that we'll still get a good crowd. So I might hit some of you up for some volunteering if possible. I'll take a look at it once we know how many vendors, volunteer staff we've got coming. So. But other than that, it looks to be pretty good. So we'll keep moving ahead with it.
Did you have that at the fairgrounds, Lori?
We did, yeah. And we really did not know what to expect last year. And the weather was awful. It was a cold, misty, awful, awful day. But we still gave out 330 bags. We had planned for 300. And I actually ended up running back. Grabbing a few more. So not all of them, the last 30 that we gave out were not full, you know, things with the vendors. But people still, they didn't care. They were appreciative to come through. And we got a really, we actually received several phone calls after the event, which is unusual. We don't usually do that from a regular Elder Fest, but we actually got quite a few phone calls that people actually really enjoyed it. And, it, you know, so yeah. And I think this year, we've kept it the same so that people will know how to do it this year. They'll be more familiar with it, and we'll barricade it up a little better than we did last year. I underestimated the fact that people would just, you know, do what they want and drive where they It always astounds me when people just, you know, think the rules don't apply, but whatever. So we'll be a little more cautious with that, but yeah, I think it'll be good. I've talked to Amy. She's got no problem with us doing it that way again. She's going to get us some fence poles and stuff so we can secure some scarecrows, and we're hoping to get some pumpkins and some scarecrows and some displays again, just to keep it for something to look at. So I don't want too many stops. I did have a couple vendors stop, and we had thought about that at one point, you know, having it be where they stopped at tables, but we only, I think, had one fender bender last year, and I'd like to keep that at a minimum. So I think multiple stops just get, you just have multiple more issues to deal with if people are making multiple stops. So I think we'll leave it the way it was, and hopefully it'll go over again this year. So it's coming up fast. I mean, it felt like, I just feel like all of a sudden it's upon us. So, but I think we've got it, you know, we've got it figured out pretty well. So, the main thing will just be to keep everybody healthy so that we can have everybody there. So that's the biggest issue. Okay.
Any questions on the Elder Fest? What? Public hearing for aging plan.
All right. This, I just put aging plan. It will probably be transportation too, since I have to do a transportation public hearing for 8521. I will probably combine the two. I put tentatively October 15th because some things have to happen. We have the draft aging plan on the agenda today. GWAR was actually supposed to return the draft aging plan that I submitted to them prior to you looking at it, but they have not returned it. So I don't have time to wait. In looking at what their timeline is for this, they're not even matching up to their own timeline, and you have to allow so much time to advertise for a public hearing. So I will be doing that, and so I will let you know that for sure. But that will likely be transportation and aging. And I will probably do two. I'll probably do one in Lancaster and then probably one like in the northern. So we don't tend to get a huge turnout for these, but they do recommend that we do a couple. So I'll probably do one in a couple different places. Again, socially distanced and all of that. So that will be the case.
Is there, I guess, is there anything more that we got to do as a county or organization, really?
For the public hearing?
Yeah.
So with the aging plan, like I said, GWAR has a timeline. They changed their aging plan requirements up a little bit. So I had actually had you guys review the goals and pick out your goals to begin with. So I feel pretty good about that because that wasn't part of the plan, but that kind of got us a step ahead further. Then in August and September, they were supposed to review the draft aging plan. It's supposed to come back to you guys for review before the public hearing. After the public hearing, we're supposed to take any comments and amend the plan if necessary, and then bring it back for final review and submit it. However, I've heard nothing out of GWAR. I submitted they wanted us to submit the first goals and everything by July. I didn't hear anything back from that. Then I sent in the full draft to them right back in August, and still haven't heard anything back. So, and I told them then, it's got to be on my agenda. So I'm not worrying about it, quite frankly. It's their timeline, so it all has to be taken care of by the end of the year. So
we usually don't get much input or comment or help from the public hearing anyway, do we?
No, we very rarely. Once in a great while, we have somebody. I would say we probably get more input on the transportation one.
Yeah.
Than anything. And that's just, and that's literally, in my experience over the last 8 years, has maybe been one or two people. So we very rarely get a turnout for it. Sometimes I get a couple calls at the office that just ask what it is. And then when I explain it to them, they're like, oh, I don't need to come. But no, but I will let you know, Dale, because you will want to be there.
Yeah.
I don't expect, we'll probably Zoom it as well, just because of the COVID. So, but yeah, I'm a little irritated with GWAR because, I mean, if you put out a timeline and says this has to happen, then it has to happen on your end, not just on my end. So,
well, yeah.
I mean, so basically now if they come back and say it needs revisions, I'm going to say, sorry, yeah.
Where were you
my
at?
Board already approved it. Yeah. So,
where were you
provided
at?
You do.
As far as the 15th goes, I got a deck of cards in the truck. So again.
Yeah, and I'll double check with that. I tentatively was just trying to kind of look out for when we would get it in the paper and stuff. So we can double check after the meeting to see if that works for you. So.
Well, we have like one in the afternoon and one in the evening.
Yeah, or probably even, yeah, we can look at it and see what works best.
Well, let's see. That'll be before our next meeting anyway, won't it?
It probably will.
Yeah, next meeting's supposed to be the 20th, so yep, okay.
Again, yeah, I was trying to look at the timeline.
Give me a buzz then or whatever.
Yeah.
What transpires or what and when it ends up being what time.
Yeah, we can, you and I can coordinate that and make sure it works for you. It's just like I said, it's a bit frustrating that they haven't. I only know of one county in our region. I know Val from Iowa County heard back from Jane, but I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure Greene County has not heard back. So the one draft was due on July 23rd. Then it says to present the draft back. August, September. So, yeah. So that I'm following their timelines. So, they're just not following their timelines.
Okay. Board appointment then.
Okay. It. So, with Carolyn resigning, that left an opening on the regional board. And in speaking with Mary Mesra, that position also needed to represent someone with physical disabilities as well, which was what Carolyn was doing. So I actually spoke with Rob the other day, Rob Bell, to see what his interests might be. Some of you who have been on the board for a while know that Rob's wife, Carrie, sat on the ADRC board for quite a few years. He would meet the criteria to sit on the regional board. So it's often difficult to find someone willing and that has the understanding and ability to do that. So I thought Rob would be a great choice. So I just wanted to broach that to you guys to see if you'd be willing to appoint him to the, it would be a recommendation to the Grant County Board of Supervisors, right?
We need a motion for that, right?
Yes.
I'll second it.
Motion by Lester, second by Arnie to nominate Rob to the ADRC Regional Board for the disability. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Signed. Carried. That'll be passed on now to the.
Yes, that'll go to the county board then. Yeah. We do have another opening, and I did have some interest from a former board member, Vicki Hirsch. Again, for those of you that have been on the board before, Vicki was interested in coming back. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention, because I think with COVID, it's really difficult to get people and get them on board. I know I feel bad with Gary and Rob. It's been kind of, you don't really get much of an orientation. You just sort of get thrown into it. So I'm not sure. This is the exact protocol, but if you're interested, if we could make a recommendation to the board to appoint Vicki, I think that would be great, because she is familiar with it. She only said, you know, I did not look, and I meant to this morning, what her term was before. She didn't complete a full term, I don't believe.
No, I think she's maybe a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's from Platteville, right?
She is.
Yeah, her husband was real bad.
She's a caregiver as well. So, and she has been, and she is familiar with this board, which was, I thought would be nice given the fact that we're meeting.
I know Vicki very well.
Yes. Yeah, she's a super, super nice person. And familiar with us, so.
We need a motion for that then.
I'll make a motion to approve Vicki.
I second.
Motion by Arnie, second by Rob. Any further discussion? Not, all in favor say aye.
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 Thank you.
That two's got to be passed on, right?
Yes, that's good. They both have to go to the Grant County Board, so.
Good deal. Okay, number seven, draft aging plan.
So you have that in your packets, and we don't have to go through the entire plan. I didn't include the whole thing because a whole bunch of it's insurances and certifications and things like that. So I included most of it. But you have already approved the goals, obviously. We did that a meeting or two ago, where we went over all the goals. So I have included, I mean, obviously I didn't change those. We used the ones that you guys selected. So you have it in your packet. This is what the aging plan looks like for 3 years. And the goals that we choose actually have to come, I mean, they tell us where we have to have goals at, and then we have to go along with that and come up with things. The summary pages, the executive summary pages, just kind of tells you my rationale for, you know, why we selected those goals, basically. So I don't know if you had a chance to review it, if you want me to go through it further. Like I said, the goals haven't changed. So what we will do with this is we will then take this aging plan, and this is what we'll go over at the public hearing. People will have a chance to look at it and make any comments and say yay or nay. And if they think something isn't correct, they can let us know that. I always think it's so prescribed in the goals that they choose that I always find it funny that you have to have a public hearing to comment on the goals that you choose, but the goals are fairly prescribed to you in the first place. So if people don't like your goals, I guess, I'm not sure what GOAR does with that, but I've never actually come across that. So it is what it is, I guess. But so you can take a look through it. I just try to, increasing volunteer participation, because our volunteering came in last. I use that as a reason to wanting to increase that. Some of the things obviously that we want to do is increase the likelihood that community leaders, we want to get a little bit more engaged with communities so that maybe community leaders and members can respond to us when we need input on things. And one of the great ways that, you know, we're able to do that is when we are in these communities for disasters. It's a great way to get to know a community. Now, obviously, the last one was in my community. But even when we've been in Cassville and things like that, it gives me a chance and staff to get a chance to get to know leaders. And then they are much more influenced, I think, and have no problem in giving us a call. Literally just yesterday, I ran into Misty at in Boscobel, who had had some citizen call her, and she had referred her back to the ADRC and was letting me know that. So I think that does work well. We were looking at increasing personal choice by allowing participants to use vouchers at selected restaurants. Again, I think moving forward, that's somewhere where we'll probably go. That doesn't really solve our problem with home delivered increasing so much, but it will. I do think it's probably the way of the future. Increasing access to evidence-based health promotion. We have so many agencies providing health promotion now because there's money in it. There's more grants, there's more prevention efforts out there. So we just seem to have more players. So again, we want to get in, and ADRC is really going to have to back out of that. So we're going to have to be more into the coordination, which we already are here, because we just don't have the time. So we will be looking at that. And then increasing access to and availability of respite providers. That's a huge problem right now. And then providing that opportunity for local leaders, including leaders of like the Hispanic community and those communities, to identify issues. And that equity, that racial equity goal, is a major goal of GWAR in the state of Wisconsin. So we do have to include that as well. So the goals haven't changed. This just kind of gives a little bit background of how we looked at them, how we came up with them, and it gives a little bit more background of how we look. So, and I will say in here, if you, not sure if I included that in here, I have to change. Carolyn was still in here as board chair, so I have to change that out. So I haven't made that change yet. So any questions on it? I didn't really want to read it to you, so. Any questions on the process or what we actually use it for or how it's done? GWAR requires this plan every 3 years. So it's very fluid, though. If things change, like obviously with COVID, there was no prevention in 2020. So we always have the ability to change the goals as we see fit. Quite frankly, I've never thought that anything in the plans were monitored very much or well, to be honest with you. To me, honestly, it's just a bunch of busy work, but it is required, so we do it. So we know what we have to do, and we're doing it all the time. And so you have to come up with some random 10 more goals to accomplish, because apparently they don't think what we do is enough. So
Bob. The only time I remember any conversation about anything at one of these, I think we was at Fenimore, and it had something to do with home delivery. Somebody had a question about home delivery.
Sure.
Yeah. But it was really nothing. You know, nothing drastic. I mean, if I remember right, they could have got their answer by making a phone call. They didn't need to come to a public hearing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, we have so much already outlined within ADRC and GWAR already that we have to provide and have to do. So I don't know. I mean, in all honesty, it's no different than it was in the job I was at previously. You did the same things. You had all these prescribed things you had to do, and then they would still make you come up with some random things so you can provide information to someone. So it's really no different. So I shouldn't be so cynical today, but it's been kind of that kind of week for me. So I feel like we have to spend a lot of time on this aging plan and getting it together and doing it. And then almost nobody ever checks back. So, I mean, literally, I think last year I sent the assessment to them because nobody requested it and said, here's what we did. So, so there's not always a lot of follow-up from it, which then makes me just think it's just, you know, it's just work. But it is what it is. We have to do it, so we do it.
Yep, about it.
But I do need approval, or if you want to amend it in any way, shape, or form, then we need to do that as well. So what it is here is you'd give tentative approval on that one so I can move ahead with the public hearing. And then after the public hearing, if we have any comments or changes that we need to amend it, we'll come back with that. And then you'll give it a final approval, and then it'll go to GWAR. Yes. Thank you.
I'll second.
Gary seconding?
Gary, all in favor say aye.
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 Sign? Carried. Okay.
All right, on to the budget. You have that in your packets as well, I believe. Somewhere. So I will go through the budget just a little bit because you haven't seen it at all, right? I've done so many versions of this budget, I feel like I've already brought it here, but so we've been meeting as department heads and working on the budget as a whole, so there's been quite a few different draft versions of it. And right now, the versions include, I believe, Bob, make sure I got this right, the versions still include a 2% cost of living. No? Are you saying no?
One plus one.
Oh, you're right. I think it is one plus one. Did we change that? Yeah. I think we did change that. Sorry. See, I knew I'd get it wrong. Yeah, I think you're right. So it's a one plus at January and a one plus at July. Sorry. We did make that change. See, I told you I've done this many times. We've had a few changes. So since the beginning, a couple things we were asked to do was to take out any one-time equipment out of it. So I did have a vehicle in nutrition, and I did pull that out, and it is not in here at all right now. So that is something that we will either have to look at in the future or discuss at a different time. So I'm going to go through it just a little bit. One of the things that we did is I upped the revenue. So if you look up here, this is revenue up here. I did up the revenue by $100,000 because we are supposed to get some ARPA funds, and it looks like those, and that's actually probably a low estimate, it's in there, so hopefully that will happen. So if you just hit down to the yellows, service management is Title 3B, and that we use mostly for admin costs. We usually use ADRC and service management as admin costs. But the other thing that can come out of there is some elder benefits. And so usually if I think that we have money in service management towards the end of the year, I may charge a little bit of EBS expenses out of there. Now, elder benefits is going through ADRC, so it's a little different than it used to be. There's also service management has also always had some lines for like home health and personal cares and things like that. We've typically not done those through there because we've had other DSS and health department has had some of that. That is kind of drying up as we move forward. So moving forward in the future, we may have to revisit service management as to how we use it. But for right now, it is still mostly admin costs. So Courtney's position, partly her administrative part of her position, Mariah Sheila's positions are in there. Part of my position is in there. Those would be the ones that are covered. And then sometimes, like I said, if I think we're going to be okay, then I may charge a little to EBS. So that is what that is. Congregate, if you go just kind of the next yellow block, I don't think I have anything really unreasonably high in here. Unfortunately, what I don't like about this budget page is it doesn't calculate till the end. So you'll see that at the end. Congregate meals, home delivered meals. I tell you, this is just getting to be like a throw a dart at a board and take a guess, because I don't know what food costs are going to do. I don't know what gasoline costs are going to do. So those are our best bets. And we don't know with COVID where we're going to have it. So I do have them separated out, congregate and home delivered, as I did this year. However, in reality, it can be in one budget. So we do have flexibility between those two budgets. But so depending how COVID goes, right now our sites are shut down again for congregate. So everything's getting charged to home delivered. Typically, with Title III, the majority of our funding has come through congregate. Title IIIC has always, the majority has come through congregate. And it's only, I'm only budgeting like $158,000, $163,000 for it this year. Well, I did add to it because of the ARPA, but and home delivered is literally only like at $38,000. So we don't get a lot of money. And the program is, you know, it costs us like $800,000. So we do get some income. So when you look at some of this in this yellow box of that revenue, the congregate meals program income and the home delivered program meal program income, that's what we suggest. That's the suggested donations. For our congregate and our home delivered, we cannot require people to pay anything. Basically, they can pay what they can afford, and we suggest a donation to them. excuse me. And that donation is not based on our costs. It's just based on what we think is a reasonable amount and what they might be willing to pay. So that has been at $350. It has not, we don't get that anymore. In fact, we've seen it lower. And obviously with COVID, I think we even saw it a bit lower. The family care line on there, they do have to reimburse us at what we consider the full cost of the meal. However, that's another area that I'm looking at, because what happens a lot with our family care. So family care is people that are on long-term care and they're under the auspices of an MCO. And what happens a lot sometimes is that these MCOs set up meals. They identify somebody needs meals and they set up meals with us. And so they contract us with us for meals. And then a year in, they reevaluate and they decide the person's doing fine and they don't need meals anymore. And they pull them off. Well, now the person's got into a habit of receiving a good meal every day or however often they're getting it, and they want meals to continue. We do not have the ability to tell them no, because they still qualify for our meals. But they also don't have to be paid for out of family care. So, however, they wouldn't be doing well if they probably weren't getting the meals. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, I believe. And it happens a fair amount. We saw quite a few go on meals over COVID, and then now they're backing off of that because, you know, unfortunately for the family care managers, they look better if they don't have as much in that budget and they're not paying out that cost for meals. And they know there's a likelihood that we are not going to turn these people away. We generally tell them to go through the appeal process for family care, but we have not been successful in seeing anything happen with that. So it is something that I bring up to the state fairly frequently because it just doesn't seem right to me. If they're receiving services under Medicaid and through a long-term care program and are doing well with meals, why isn't that continuing? Why does the county have to, you know, pay for that? So doesn't really make sense. So I did take out the vehicle for congregate and home delivered. It is not in there anymore. I did have budgeted about $40,000 in there, but I did take that out. Also with congregate and home delivered, I did not add any sites in, and I did not include Dickeyville at this point. Dickeyville has not been running since March of 2020. We have gotten a few home deliverables that we have managed to take care of, but we have had no calls from that community regarding meals. Dickieville did indicate to me that they would be interested in continuing if they could find a volunteer. It is one day a week. However, this budget is, you know, it's a lot. And at some point, we have to make some decisions as to what we're going to fund. Right now, the, let me just tell you what it is, if I can find it. We are looking at a county cost of $440,461 to the meal program. So, in my opinion, I don't think we can expand, and I don't even know that we can continue with a one-day-a-week program. I really think we need to be concentrating. This is my opinion. We need to be concentrating on getting home-delivered meals out to people who need it. There is some direction from the state at looking at this, because there is not a director in the state that I don't think would disagree with me on that. Congregate is important. I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying that social isolation isn't a problem either. However, food security is a huge problem as well. So it's a direction that I think this board is going to have to determine. And you'll have to, unfortunately, determine today whether you want to expand or not. With COVID happening, I just don't think it's the right time to try to look at that. If that's something we want to do in the future, then I think that's something that we start looking towards next year to figure out how to do that and where we can save money. Because right now we have pretty high costs. It takes a lot of wages. We have staff that are still grandfathered in for benefits, so that costs quite a bit of money. Our food costs are going up. So it's not an inexpensive program to run. I will tell you that after home delivering for the last year and a half, that it's a very good program. There's a lot of people out there that really need it. And so I do feel good about that. And I know that there's a lot of people that miss the congregate as well. But we have a lot of sites compared to other counties in the state. And we put in a lot of money in terms of what other counties in the state do. So any comments on that? Any concerns? Because that by far is our most expensive program. Okay, well, I'm going to keep moving on, and then you can look at the bottom line on the end, I guess, and we'll go from there. Public awareness is what we've used for prevention. We have not used a lot of this in the past. I will request it again, but the nice thing with the COVID funds was I was able to move a lot of money. I was able to move some of that out and use it for home delivered, which was much more beneficial this past year. And I'm hoping we can do that again moving forward. We don't have a prevention specialist on staff right now. There was a luxury of that several years ago when I came on board. But when that person resigned, I restructured a little bit. And our numbers with INA, that person used to be an information and assistance specialist and prevention specialist. When you have a combined position like that, it brings down your Medicaid reimbursement a lot, like half. When I came on board, we couldn't keep three INA busy. They were bored. And now I probably need a fourth one because we are so busy. And our Medicaid reimbursement is very good, but part of it is so we don't do a lot of outreach, and our numbers are higher than any other county in the region with, you know. Now, I'm not going to say we do outreach when we're at a disaster for a week. That's outreach. When we're, you know, we do a lot of things on the radio and things like that. But we don't do a lot, I'll be honest with you, we don't do a lot of cutesy stuff because we are very busy. So the public awareness moving forward, it has to be used for evidence-based programs. So my goal with the aging plan is to get a coalition together of all the prevention programs out there, because Grant Regional is doing it, Gunderson Hospital is doing it, Extension is doing some. There's a couple other players in there as well. And what I would like to do is we'll get a coalition together, figure out who's doing what, and then we can use that money to support their activities and advertise and coordinate and do that, which makes a lot more sense than, you know, than trying to spend $4,000 on a part of a position and then just lose more than that in Medicaid reimbursement. So that is my feeling on that. The benefit specialist position, it is still on here. That is our elder benefit specialist position. So it's the person who works with Medicare, Part D and all of that. If you see, I only have that in Title III right now. I just actually lumped everything all together in that because that position no longer is contracted through GWAR with us. It actually is going through the ADRC, which is more beneficial for us. So it is still on here as a separate budget, but we budget it, we expense it out to ADRC. So every month, Courtney does an adjustment on it and sends those expenses to ADRC. So there's been a slight increase there, but mostly, again, wages and benefits. It's nothing more than that. There isn't any luxury in these budgets, I will tell you that. Bus, again, just looking, we haven't run a bus in so long. I'm not sure what it's going to cost. So looking at what I did last year, budgeting, kind of keeping somebody under what benefits would cost us. That may change as we move forward. Again, once COVID's over and transportation becomes more of a thing, again, you know, we may need to look at that differently next year. But right now, I budgeted it based on a very conservative estimate. Specialized, I did up a little bit because that is what we're using more in these times for COVID is specialized. So specialized transportation is the wheelchair van. And we do reimburse we do charge out $15 an hour plus mileage for those. But we have seen an increase in that. And people needing that service. We do try not to compete with the medical fans, so we don't do medical trips for like the nursing homes and things like that, because there are providers out there doing that. So we limit that to more personal trips. Taxi, again, slight increase, mostly wages, health insurance, that sort of thing. Taxi runs 4 days a week. So there isn't really any changes to that. One of the things I do want to back up with the bus is I am considering, once we get through COVID, of offering the bus as more like a taxi in a couple communities over the next year, instead of running just all long routes with it. Cuba City, which doesn't have anything there, we may try and see if they benefit from having like the bus there for a morning, just to get, you know, local pharmacy, things like that. So we may try some of those and just test them out and see if they're successful. Because really, when we do a lot of our long routes, we don't get that many people on the bus in normal times. You know, it's maybe five or six sometimes if we're lucky. So the taxi hasn't really changed a whole lot. Trips program, again, I think I upped it just a little bit, but mostly our expense to trips is all in the mileage reimbursement for volunteers. Obviously, that is going up again, and we use that quite a bit. So I did up that just slightly, but nothing too much. Family caregiver program. That program is we work with caregivers, we do some respite care for them. Nicole does provide a little bit of case management, just kind of helping people manage, and when they're stressed out, giving them a place to call, giving them some respite money if needed, or some supplies if needed. So that's basically, we use that a little bit more for her hours. I do budget about 600 of her hours in there. We will split that out with AFCSP when the board officially approves that. The Alzheimer's family caregiver budget is not in here right now because I don't have it. But I'm hoping that we will be able to take just a little bit of her hours and put into that as well at some point. Again, just to give us a little bit of leeway there. But again, not a big expense, only in wages. Then the ADRC program. So for those of you new, it gets a little confusing because I talk about we are the ADRC, but then we have an ADRC separate budget. So the program is actually, ADRC as a whole is split up into the aging programs, and the aging programs are service management, nutrition, and family caregiver. It used to be elder benefits. That's what it's taking over. Then we had our transportation programs, which was the volunteer program, the bus, the taxi, and the specialized. That most of those funds all come out of DOT. And then the ADRC fund funds our information and assistance specialists, our disability benefits specialist, and is now kind of funding our elder benefits specialist as well. And then we split administration between those two. The difference in the ADRC program versus the other programs is the other programs all require a match. So the Title III programs all require a match. The bus, the 8521, which does the bus, the specialized, and a little bit of the taxi requires a 20% match. The aging programs are more like 9, 10%. And the ADRC program does not at this time require a match, and it is all cost reimbursed. So I'm always trying to get as much out of this budget as I can, because that is actually money back to the county. And that's why we do a cost allocation. So you see on the last line of all these budgets, you see that indirect cost allocation. For most of our programs, that cost allocation doesn't really do any good, because there's already enough county money in there that while I budget, I'll give you an example. So for service management, we have $7,513 in cost allocation and indirect costs. But the county's actually going to be putting in more than the 7,500, so it's just a wash. However, for ADRC, right now we are budgeting, and that has gone up significantly, so I'm not sure that we'll get all of this out of there, but we are budgeting 61,000 in indirect costs out of there. So that actually will bring money back to the county. Does that make sense? So that actually helps fund the cost of finance, personnel, IT, that sort of thing. So that is why that indirect cost is in there. That is not done countywide in all the departments, but that is here. The difference that I've done in the past is we have budgeted that out between building rent and indirect costs because we were having some direct billing. It is not clear to me how they're doing it this year, so I lumped it all into indirect costs this year. We may have to change that at some point, but Amanda was I just got an email from her yesterday, and we haven't seen the cost allocation plan, so I really don't know how that's being billed out. I don't think Gary's still in here. So I don't know if it's in Gary's budget or not. So that indirect cost would also include some utilities, electricity, water, and then all of the other programs. So does that make sense? So it's just a way to keep more money back to the county. All right, so last page. If you look at the very last page, that's the amounts. With the indirect costs, we have a net, we have that the levy cost would be $289,069. The other variable there would be, is I'm still looking into the carryover monies that we've had in the past. For those of you on the board, you'll know that there was a policy, a carryover policy done a few years ago that said all ADRC monies would go into the general fund. And at that time, I think we had about 500 and, I don't know, close to 600,000, I would say. So I am looking into that a little bit further to see if we can use any of that money, because I don't think it all has gone into the general fund. So I'm doing a little more investigation on that to see if we can use that to offset some of the 286. That's all just clear as mud, isn't it?
Normal.
So if you look at that very last one, so that page, you'll see, so the biggest, obviously the most expensive programs are meals, clearly. And then the benefit specialists and service management also, just because it's more administration. You'll see that's where the biggest costs come into it at. So that by far is typically ADRC, and I will say this does show that 7,000. Typically, the county has never put any money into ADRC, so that really won't be a $7,000 levy, because it will just, you just won't charge as much in indirect costs. So that really will zero out, but it does look like it there, if that makes sense. Sorry, I can't explain that any clearer. It's a little bit confusing. So questions? Concerns? There is no fluff in here, I can tell you that. Anything that you can think of? I think I've been pretty conservative with my expenses, and I don't tend to get real crazy with revenue. I try to really budget pretty close to what I think it is. And I think if you look at our current finance reports, I mean, we're pretty close. It's, you know, a budget is just your best thoughts of what you think might happen. And with COVID and food prices, I can't anticipate all of that. I can't anticipate that we might not have to hire some extra vendors. I'm already looking into that. So, you know, we could potentially end up with some expenses depending on how long this pandemic goes. But
are you able to get anything from Cisco right now?
What's that?
I said, are you able to get anything from Cisco?
We haven't had any issues too much.
Back and forth, you know, there's a few things. They've been able to substitute some of the bowls for us. The aluminum tray, what we were really concerned about a couple weeks ago, we couldn't get any, but we're able to now. So
yeah, it just,
every week is different, it fluctuates.
I'm sure you know that too, right, Pat?
Right, they've told us not to find other vendors for Cisco.
Yep. We haven't had that
issue 2 weeks. Yeah.
So they're really one of the only vendors that I use. Boscobel uses Mark.
I see that, yeah.
But.
Yeah,
it's, so far we haven't had to really do much with menu changes or anything like that. Like I said, like Courtney said, the disposable trays that we use, the aluminum, and we need the aluminum to keep everything hot. That was a little bit of an issue that we got a little bit nervous on, but yeah, it hasn't been too bad so far. But no, they're literally, I can tell you, other than the prescribed wages for the county, there isn't anything too fluffy in here. I do expect some ARPA funds. I expect them for Title III. I think we'll get some in caregiver. I think we'll get some in nutrition. So I did budget 100,000. It's possible we could get more. Those funds can go to 2024, I believe. Although WAR was all excited and wondering how we were going to use those in the big programs, including myself, are like, we're going to use them for our actual expenses, because that's, we put a lot of money in. Those are just going for meals. They acted, you know, I felt like they kind of thought we had a windfall and we're going to buy other things. And it's like, that's not happening. So we will use it for what we have going on. So yeah, I can't think of anything in here that is extravagant in any way, shape, or form.
We have any grants out there or donations that we're working with, like we had from Eckstein a few years ago?
We haven't lately.
All used up.
I haven't come across anything lately. We typically budget, I think I budgeted about $8,000 for donations because that's typically what we get. Depending on how we move forward with things, that may be an area that we want to look at to see what's out there again. But yeah, there isn't a lot to my knowledge. I'm not hearing, I know a few counties do use some United Way funds. We have not done that. But I will tell you that most counties don't put in the type of money that Grant County does. So.
So what happens when expenditures exceed revenues by $289,000?
It comes out of county levy.
What's that?
It comes out of county levy. Well, it's okay if the entire county budget it has that as an include. So there's I don't know that there, is there any county budgets that are entirely self-funded departments?
I'm not going
to say. So, for instance, most of the I'll say most departments because I don't know that any are self-funded, but. You know, some departments are entirely, you know, some departments personnel doesn't, you know, obviously they don't generate revenue. So some departments don't generate any revenue. We do at least generate some revenue.
Not abnormal.
No, I would not say this is, and I would say that we're down to the 280. It's not, you know, I don't see it as great, but I don't see it as the worst. But yeah, no, it's a great question, Rob, because yeah, in your frame, you don't know, you don't have that perspective. So what needs to happen at the county level is we all have to kind of get together and figure out what everybody's budgets are and look at, and then look at the funding and see that we have enough to cover it. When we started the process, I think way back in July or whenever that was, it seems like 3 years ago, I think we were at a couple million or over a couple million. We have whittled that away, and I think we're within, Bob, do you want to address, you know, we're within a thousand, maybe? So if you approve this budget today, it will go on to the executive.
No. This budget will be put in a packet that will go to the county board.
Okay. Doesn't executive review it at some point?
Normally, the county board then sends it back to the executive.
Oh, sorry.
Or final review, and then it comes to the county board.
And there has to be a public hearing on that as well, right?
We have a public hearing on the budget on October 5th county board meeting. Normally, it's reverted back to the executive committee for discussion the following week, and it goes to the county board the second week in November.
That makes sense. Questions, concerns?
Okay, well, no more discussion on the budget. I'll accept a motion to approve it and send it on to the county board. Motion by Rob.
I'll second it.
All in favor say aye.
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 Hold same sign. Carried. Number 9, confidentiality policy.
All right. Mary Mezra passed these along to me. So in your packets, you do have a confidentiality policy and a conflict of interest policy. These are policies that the state wants signed by our boards and staff and anybody else, I guess. So if you will take a look at those, if you want me to go through them, I will, but I think they're pretty self-explanatory, obviously. things need to remain confidential, and obviously if there's a conflict of interest, you probably need to bring that to our attention. But I don't think we have anybody right now that would really be a problem with. So if you can read through those and sign those and give them back to me, I would appreciate it, and I will get those over to Mary. They don't require any action other than your signature. And if you'd like me to go through them, I will. Okay.
On the conflict of interest tribal ADRC, it says as a representative of, what do we just put?
Of the ADRC, I would put ADRC board, Grant County ADRC board or committee.
Can I just give them to you today?
If you can, that would be great.
Is there a...
Oh, which one does it?
To be a signage sheet for the...
Confidentiality did not have one? Oh, I apologize. I thought it did. I will double check on that. So just if you read through that, and I will double check and see if she didn't, if I'm missing that. You remember if you signed one for confidentiality for regional? I apologize. I must have looked at the conflict of interest one twice. So I'll double check on that one.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'll double check on that.
We have. I mean, it's a periodic thing, like what, every couple years,
yeah,
maybe, or something,
yeah,
like that.
I will double check on the confidentiality one. I apologize. I actually thought there was a signature page on that, and I must have looked at the conflict of interest one twice. So if you'll sign the conflict of interest one, and then I will double check on that one.
For the tribal ADRC, and we have for the ADRC staff, so they're slightly different.
You don't need to do the tribal, right? You just need to do the ADRC staff one. You're considered, it will be considered a committee one, so. Sorry, I apologize. I will be honest with you. I didn't look at those very closely. I assumed they had what I needed, so.
Okay, approval of the vouchers. Any questions or? Not, I'll accept the motion to approve.
I move to approve.
I'll second it.
Motion by Rob, second by Pat. No more discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Same sign. Carried. Financial report.
I don't think I have anything unusual on that either. I think we're progressing pretty well through it. Obviously, with congregate, we will have a lopsided budget again, that the home delivered will be more than the congregate, because when I budgeted this, I budgeted like a normal year, and it's not been a normal year at all. So, and there could be a chance that we could get more revenue in the nutrition this year, depending on when those ARPA funds hit. So GWAR didn't seem to know when that might be. So we will just kind of keep a close eye on that. Other than that, and the fact that the bus isn't running yet, so our congregate sites are shut down, bus is still shut down, everything else is going for now. And I don't think we have any unusual expenses in anything right now, do we? You can think of, Courtney? I don't believe we do. So unless you have a question.
No question, I'll accept a motion to approve the financial report.
I'll make a motion to approve the financial report.
By Pat.
Yep.
Second by Gary. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Carried. Director's report, Lori.
All right, I apologize, I did not get a written one in there. We were trying to get everything else in your packet, and I just didn't get it in. So let me just pull up, because I did do one. I just did it late. I should have already had it up. So I feel like I've done about 7 versions of the budget, so it feels like that's been my life for a while, because we kept trying different things and changing things. I've already told you about meal sites being shut down. That was on based on the advice of the health department and the emergency management directors. Taxi is running. Masks are still required on public transportation until into January. And I already told you the bus is not currently running. County budget, we did train, I should not say we, Courtney trained meal site managers in serving safe foods. So they all have to have some food safety certification training every, how many years?
No, 3 or 5, I can't remember.
I think it's 5, but I don't remember either.
I think it is 5.
Courtney just did that with our meal site managers, which is great to get that done. We did have senior day at the fair. Our attendance wasn't great for the music, but we did have a lot of foot traffic in the afternoon at our booth. Yeah. So I think it kind of balanced out because we actually had a lot of people stop by. We've actually had some follow-up phone calls to people that stopped by for assistance. So I think it was fairly successful. It was a beautiful day, so it really, really wasn't all that bad to have to be out of the office on that day. So it was kind of enjoyable. I already talked about Elderfest. COVID is causing me stress, again, always. We've had some exposures that are really causing some staffing and service issues with meal sites and office, and I will be re-evaluating our staffing this week to look at addressing some of those issues and determining if we need to go back to keeping people separate or not. We've been pretty lucky so far, but we've dodged the bullet a couple of times. We are requiring masks in the office anytime you're in any public areas. So that has probably been our saving grace. Otherwise, we may have had more issues. And I'm trying to keep the office open and not all be out of the office. So we are working on that. Because of the issues with exposures and the possible shutdowns that we were thinking might happen with meal sites, and that could still happen with meal sites, we did start talking to our vendors. Southwest Tech was kind of re-evaluating. We had spoke with them last year. Some of our vendors who thought they could help us out last year and wouldn't have problems are not thinking that they can do that this year, again, because they're dealing with their own staffing issues and things like that, and things are more up and running than they were last year. So I did not hear back from Southwest Tech on whether they thought they could get back to me yesterday, and I did not hear back. We did check with Grant Regional, and they did not think that they could do any additional meals for us if their on-site kitchen would go down. Cassville was concerned about their ability. So I did send an email over to Carol at Orchard Manor, and she said they would consider it and put me in touch with Laura over there, who thought we could probably take on 50 or 60 meals if we needed it. So unfortunately, she was going to be gone for the next week, and we don't know anything at this point yet. So we will be meeting with Laura probably at the end of next week to try to work something out on that. If we do have a vendor or a site down that we need to get meals out to people. So we'll be working with that. In the meantime, Courtney is also sending letters out to our home delivered participants, finding out who actually cannot manage without getting meals. Because we know that we have some people getting meals that get it as a convenience, but could go to the store or could get someone else to get meals for them. So we really are trying to drill down, and we did this last week too, who is going to be in a world of hurt if we couldn't deliver meals. And then last year we did some shelf stable meals and got 2 days worth out to them. And we will probably do that again, because most of our vendors, even if they do have to pick up, even if Orchard Manor, they're going to need some lead time there. And I don't know if 2 days is even going to be enough. So we'll probably be doing some shelf-stable meals. In the past, we have just had the 4-H Club donate some shelf stables that really weren't considered a meal. Last year when we did it, Courtney and I actually ordered meals. We put together meals and actually worked with GWAR so they could be considered a Title III meal and be reimbursed. And that's what we will probably do again. We did, how many do you think we did last year? Between maybe 50?
I was going to say 60.
Yeah. Like, so I suspect it'll be about the same. But we will be trying to evaluate that very quickly. She's already sent out letters to some of our sites that we're kind of worried could be a little iffy. This week already, those are going out. Because that, I don't want a situation where somebody needs food and we don't get it to them. So, so I'm very thankful for Orchard Manor for considering that and working with us. And we will get that set up going forward. So that we have a system ready to go. Like I said, we did have systems ready to go last year, but all those systems have changed. The school districts don't have the capacity that they did last year because they've got students in and staff in and they're all quarantining. So a lot of our backups that we were kind of falling to last year when this all hit are now not here this year or having their own issues. So, so we'll continue to figure that out. Been working with auditors this week. I think they're close to being wrapped up. And then just continuing a little bit of work on the storage facility and moving that ahead. So that has been pretty much what we've been doing. Any questions on that or any concerns? Feels like it should have been Friday yesterday.
Any more questions? Any update on our building?
Not at this time, other than the fact that it's on order. Hopefully we'll get it in time. We did extend it out to September for it to actually be in because we just don't know with building. You know, but he's expecting it by May. So I believe he's probably going to maybe do some, I don't know, what's it called?
Foundation work.
Thank you.
Plan for this fall. State did approve moving forward with the foundation and the plans are hopefully going to be state approved within 30 days. But it is the fast track. Standard building, so they saw no issues.
Is what got to be done out there going to hinder in any way? Or isn't there some cleanup yet to do?
I haven't been out to the site because dealing with other issues, but there was a dozer delivered again over the weekend, so hopefully that's going to happen.
I still know there's a couple little piles there when I come by.
I haven't drove through there. Brad put the pressure on Mr. Wiederholt. It's supposed to be done this week.
It's like 81. I think somebody must put a little pressure on them, too. I think if they'd have worked all summer the way they worked the last couple of weeks, they'd have been done by now. Okay, no more questions. Accept a motion to adjourn until October 20th. Same time, same station.
Any questions on your program reports before you adjourn?
Guess I forgot that.
That's okay. The only thing I wanted to point out on the program reports is, remember I talked to you about our counties being so busy. So on your total number of contacts under information and assistance and a total number of encounter contacts, I put what our numbers are and what the average of those numbers are in the other three counties, because I think that's fairly relevant to look at when you hear some things regionally, which not all of you do. But if you look at Our total number of contacts is 681, and the other three counties for ADRC, it's 408. And the encounter contacts are really the ones that the state focuses on, and ours are 547, and the average is 342. So we are very busy. But moving ahead, we will go through this program report and nutrition summary a little more. My plan is, because we will have with Vicki back and Rob's fairly new and Gary's new, is I'll start bringing coordinators back to talk about the programming a little bit more. So we'll take 10 minutes or something just to give you a little overview on each of the programs so you have a little bit better understanding of it. So we haven't really done that this past year because everything's Zoom, but I think it would be good to do that again so that everybody kind of understands that. And, you know, if we get a new program, that will...
So far you're talking before, how come we still carry Dodgeville on?
On the taxi? I don't know why that's on. I've tried to get that off of there. Is that on the program report too, or is it just on the...
I think it's just on the...
It's on the financials. I know I've asked for that to be off of the financials. I think they can just hide it, but I think it just doesn't happen. But yeah, I can ask that again to have them taken off. We have nothing to do with the Dodgeville taxi anymore.
No, so. No, nothing anymore.
So, but if you do look at the nutrition report, you'll see the total number of meals year to date is 62,000, and 59,000 of those are home delivered. So thank you to those people home delivering, because that's a lot of meals to home deliver in a year. So that's a lot. If somebody would have told me we were going to do that, I'd have been like, oh, that's crazy. But it's happening. So that's all I have.
Is Potosi, are they getting along good with their meals?
I believe so. Yeah.
Believe so.
Yeah. I think that's working for them.
Did they get it from Lancaster?
Yes.
Yep. Out of Lancaster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lester's one that does the delivering there.
It works.
Yeah.
Did you call that a chocolate?
Right. I'm only got one that takes weight now.
Chocolate milk is good for muscles, so.
It fills you up faster than white milk.
What's that?
It makes you feel fuller than white milk.
That's right.
It is thicker, that's for sure.
So, Laura, you want these?
Yes, if you would hand those back in, that would be great. So I'm done with everything on program report, so now if you want to entertain your motion to adjourn, you can.
I guess. All right. I will do that now. October 20th.
So moved.
Damn. Motion by Lester. Have a second.
I'll second it.
Oh, okay. Second by Arnie. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Hold same sign. Carry. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.